Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Tuesday, July 18th. I'm Matt Harmon. And man, we have a packed show for you here today. We're continuing our series Camp Countdown. Today we're focusing on running backs, and I mean, hell of a time to be talking about running backs based on what has basically been an ongoing conversation nonstop since the franchise tag deadline yesterday about the position. We'll get into all that. We actually have a running back coming up later on the show, potentially to talk about that and many other things. We'll get to that later as well. But right now, we have to welcome the co-host for this episode. It's none other than Dalton Del Don. Dalton, how's it going, buddy? Hell of a time to be jumping on this show. We got a lot to talk about right now.
It's going well, Harmon. It's been too long. You were on vacation, then I was off. I made a nice Seattle trip, checked out the MLB All-Star game. But back to work, back to football, and happy to talk some running backs with you. Nice setup, by the way. I see you're no longer the condo cast. I know your first one was with Andy, but looking good, Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you. It feels good to be here. It does feel weird to podcast this room right now because there's not really any other furniture other than my guitars and a beer fridge, obviously, and a bar cart, obviously. You can tell what I prioritize in my life. So it's very echoey in here, which I don't like that I can hear myself talk because I don't like the sound of my own voice. But other than that, I think it looks great in this room. Things are good. So appreciate that, Dalton. And yeah, it has been way too long. But man, great show for you to jump on here because, like I said, we have a ton to get to. Great timing for the running back show as the franchise tag deadline came and went yesterday without Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, or Tony Pollard. None of them came to agreements with their teams on long-term deals. For the whole like running back countdown thing, we're getting a bonus question here, which I think is just like, do any of these guys end up holding out? Do any of these holdouts end up affecting their fantasy, you know, draft placement or whatever? But really, Dalton, I just kind of wanted to get your reaction to what ended up becoming a really big discussion about running back value. You know, all tons of like big name running backs chimed in. You know, our own Austin Eckler chimed in on the discussion. Derrick Henry chimed in on the discussion. Christian McCaffrey, Najee Harris. I mean, you know, basically a ton of dudes from the position kind of had a lot to say about not just the fact that these guys didn't get long-term deals, but the state of the position overall and the way that some media members talked about it yesterday. I don't know, man, Dalton. It was a hell of a day if you spent a lot of time scrolling on Twitter, which I try not to do, but I did see a little bit of it going on yesterday.
Le'Veon Bell even tweeted, "Why am I trending?" Because
yeah.
someone blamed him, actually, you know, for
that's
the
right.
You know, and he was the last player to sit out a season in this exact situation to decline the franchise tag. So obviously the position is getting screwed. It really is. It's a violent position and just the pay. They always point out the misses like the Le'Veon Bell, but there is a bunch of bad contracts, quarterback contracts, you know, equally as disastrous. So the position is getting unfairly treated as far as financial terms. Fantasy wise, I haven't moved Barkley. I moved Henry above Josh Jacobs. That's simply the same tier for me. I moved Zamir White way up. I mean, he's an interesting guy. You look at his workout stats, 96th percentile in the 40 and speed score, and he's 214 pounds. So, I mean, he's becoming a very interesting, intriguing guy, free at most draft tables. I mean, Tony Pollard's obviously going to play, but I think there's a real chance that Jacobs and or Barkley does miss games and or they don't want to miss any game checks. So they play, but maybe they shut it down early this season in the most important time, because that is the other issue here that actually probably the most likely outcome. They do play. They don't miss any game checks, but maybe they're not willing to fight through injuries down the stretch. That's a real possibility here as well. But I mean, I think both are deserving to get paid, but it is what it is. In fantasy terms, we're left with question marks.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley, literally, that was his reaction on Twitter, too, was it is what it is. That's a good point about the late season stuff, because I hadn't really considered that. My main thought was, are these guys going to miss week one? Are they going to hold out of training camp? You know, all that stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, the Lev Bell example is a pretty rough one for running backs to follow. I know he was kind of trying to do what I think a lot of running backs would love to do right now, which is sort of, you know, set a precedent at the position. And it just didn't end up working out because he's missing an entire year of his prime earning years where for running backs, I think that's what's so different about them versus any other position on the rookie contract, right? Is that for quarterbacks on the rookie contract, we know it's a big advantage to have a rookie contract quarterback that's a really good player. You know, obviously the Bengals have benefited from that. The Chiefs benefited from that for a while. Same thing at wide receiver. You know, Justin Jefferson's been one of the most valuable players in the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase, one of the most valuable players in the NFL because they're like elite tier receivers on those rookie contracts. But the thing that those positions, and obviously a bunch of other positions, their prime years extend into their late 20s, into their 30s, where running backs, like their prime years of best effectiveness is on those rookie contracts, which is where you get what a lot of running backs were pissed yesterday, is that people saying, well, just ride them through the rookie contract, franchise tag them, and then let them go. It's like, well, it's a tough break when you didn't maximize your earning potential based on your skill level. So I get where these running backs are coming from. It's just tough to try to find any solution. But yeah, I hadn't really considered if a guy, I think Josh Jacobs is a good one to bring up here because I think the Giants will be in contention, you know, and Saquon Barkley is still a guy who probably wants to win a Super Bowl, you know, wants to be on a really good team. I think the Cowboys, you know, with Tony Pollard will be in contention. But for Jacobs, man, we know there's a lot of disaster scenarios available for the Las Vegas Raiders this year. So are we looking at a guy in Josh Jacobs who maybe number one doesn't want to play early in the season because he's pissed he didn't get rewarded based on being one of the best players on the team last year? And then two, even when he does get out there, it's like, okay, he's got some injuries late in the year and like Brian Hoyer starting or some craziness like that. And he's like, yeah, I'm shutting it down. I didn't even consider that risk, but I think that's something to bring up there.
And quickly, on the flip side of that, I believe four of the last five backs who did play out this franchise tag season were given 300-plus touches, and a couple of them 350-plus. So if they do play, the coaches clearly, you know, go ahead and give them all, feed them all they can, knowing that it's just 1 year left that franchise is tied to them. So if they do play, boy, they could be looking at a lot of touches theoretically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true. And that kind of goes into the, you know, ride them into the ground or whatever, again, yeah, aspect that I don't like when people kind of frame it that way. And look, I'll admit that I think this situation sucks for the running backs.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure what the solution is. I do think there's some, I don't know about blame. I think the fact that, you know, the way the media talks about it is tough. I think the way that, but the teams, the GMs, front offices, coaches, you know, even on to owners are looking at this as a way to exploit the labor at the position. And I just really don't know if we're going to get are we going to get a solution for running backs exclusively in the next CBA? I don't know if that's, are we going to completely do away with the franchise tag? The union didn't seem to want to do that last year. I'm really not sure what the solution is for the position, but I think it's something that we are going to be talking about on this podcast and any podcast that's covering certainly fantasy or covering football in general. Like, we're going to be talking about this summer. We're going to be talking about it during the season. And we're going to be talking about it this time next year and all throughout next offseason as well, because I'm not sure that this issue is going to go away. And I'm really not sure what the answer is either, Dalton, but it's something that we're going to have to consider with a lot of these star running backs.
Agreed. It's not going away, and I don't have the answer, but absolutely, they need to come up with a solution because this is only going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. And the only thing I can't stand, Dalton, and this is last thing on this, before, is just like, some of the disingenuous arguments that people put out on either side, and this goes for any issue, on the way positive side, I think there's some disingenuous stuff. On the really negative side too, like you get somebody sent me a graphic, or I saw a graphic about like the leading rusher for each Super Bowl winning team in the Super Bowl. And for the 2013 Seahawks or whatever, it's like it's Percy Harvin. I'm like, okay, you just are making this, you're purposely making this graphic to omit like Marshawn Lynch, one of the best running backs of this era. Like, miss me with that nonsense. You can make an argument about an anti-running back argument, quote unquote, or, you know, whatever, like a suppress the running back market argument without doing any of that nonsense. Okay. So, I don't have a good solution for this, so I'm not going to come in with my sword and shield. I'm just, the one thing I'm, last thing, genuinely curious about, Dalton, is from a team culture and a team morale perspective, which I know we don't talk about enough in fantasy, but these guys are human beings and there's a real ecosystem that can be fragile in these situations. And again, I'll bring it back to the Raiders. You know, Josh Jacobs, a guy who goes out last year, gets a boatload of touches, and, you know, was really one of the reasons that the team was even watchable on a week-to-week basis, had a big surprise season. And now if teams have this notion of, oh, we're just going to grind these guys into the dust, even though sometimes the running back, certainly in New York with Saquon Barkley, has been far more marketable, has been far more nationally recognized than the quarterback that they just paid. I kind of wonder what that does to, like, if to kind of treat these guys in this way. I do kind of wonder if there's going to be any impact on, like, the team cultures, but I don't know that we're ever going to measure that. So I'm not sure it's something we're talking about, but that's the one thing I'm mostly curious about with this position, and if this becomes a trend.
I like your Lynch Super Bowl example, because I just read a tweet, I believe this morning, showing how few true alpha receivers are on winning Super Bowl teams too, like 1400 yard receivers. You know, that's obviously a lot of Patriots skewed that, but that's the same thing with that position as well. So yeah, truly a team sport, and they need to fix this situation to get these running backs paid, because they're an important position. I mean, they point out to, oh, the point spread won't change very, other than quarterback point spreads don't change on the position. But man, you look at the Niners' drastic change before and after McCaffrey, Purdy's getting an awful lot of credit for the clear demarcation of when McCaffrey was traded for and when before with the Niners last year.
Yeah, watch that offense before and after McCaffrey. Like, it makes a difference. And I get he's a very unique player, but, you know, regardless, that's the funny thing about using the Super Bowl argument is, like, okay, well, a bunch of those Super Bowls are Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play, and now Patrick Mahomes has two of the last, few, who's one of the best quarterbacks probably to ever play. So, okay, if we're just using Super Bowl measures, sure, you can get away with Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon. Hopefully you have an alien quarterback, you know? Hopefully you have Patrick Mahomes. I guess that's the key. That's the key to winning a Super Bowl, and everything else is just log out. So, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a pervasive conversation in our sport for a long time now. So, I think it's something worth hitting on here. But from, a pure fantasy angle, I don't know that I'm changing anybody's rankings based on this, but your thought about Josh Jacobs does at least cause me to pause. Not just that he has a risk at the beginning of the season, but at the end of the season potentially too. While I do think those other two teams are going to be good enough to avoid that situation, I do wonder about the Jacobs one. That is an interesting one.
And for what it's worth, Jacobs seems more determined to sit out too, other than Barkley.
He does,
Jacobs just seems like you know, he's had enough of it. All right, let's get to the questions.
Yeah. All right. So again, second edition of the series where we're counting down to training camp. This one's going to be focused on the running back position, so a lot more running back talk here to come. The biggest questions that we have there, essentially, we want to kind of provide you with a fantasy football viewer guide to the preseason and training camp, what to look out for at this position. It's super important. Let me tell you what, running backs, you want to talk about whether they matter in real life? They definitely matter in fantasy football, that's for sure, but it can be sort of a frustrating position with committees and rotations and stuff like that. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot. And like I mentioned, we are also going to be having a running back join the show at the end of it here. I'm going to talk to Vikings newly minted running back one, Alexander Mattison. But Dalton, you and I have both compiled our secret lists. Andy Behrens loves the secret list. I think you and I are going to have great secret lists here for this one. The three biggest questions that we have at the running back position that we think we might be able to get an answer to in August or at training camp of the preseason. Dalton, I'll let you start us off here. What's your first question?
I'll start with the most obvious and move to the least. It's a nice little segue here involving Minnesota. And my first question is, where does Dalvin Cook sign? The current favorites are listed as the Patriots, Dolphins, and the Jets in that order. Two of those three would be absolutely disastrous fantasy landing spots. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson is being treated as a top 12-ish fantasy back. Boy, you look at deeper at his receiving numbers last year, and typically guys that inefficient with that much volume drop off dramatically the next year. And they're already talking Ty Montgomery. They're just begging for a different option to throw the ball to. They didn't sign Hopkins. So I'm afraid that the Patriots move to be the favorites today might actually sneak in there and ruin fantasy. You know, you would lower Dalvin Cook in your fantasy ranks if he signed in the Patriots or the Jets, which would make me cry because my Breece Hall guy would certainly be affected. The Dolphins, that'd be great if he signs there. But this is major fantasy ramifications. Where does Dalvin Cook sign?
Totally. I think it is the biggest question out there right now. And it's so funny. Those three. The Dolphins, I think, have been the favorite for a long time. Or not the favorite, like betting favorite. But I think a lot of people have thrown them out as the favorite. But I think a lot of that is wish casting, right? Because yeah, we don't want to get excited about Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, even if those guys had their moments last year. You know, Devin Achane, is he really ready to be a full-time back? It's like, that is the smoothest, cleanest spot for Dalvin Cook to land. I wonder if any of these teams that are dealing with like a running back holdout, you know, the potential franchise tag up, you know, upset. I don't think that the Giants would make that move, but I mean, shoot, I don't think any of these teams would probably make that move, but I kind of wonder if the Raiders might think about it, if the Cowboys might think about it. I think the Cowboys would actually make sense for a veteran back. They probably don't need it to be somebody at Cook's level, but yeah, I think Miami has been what people have wish-casted the most simply because it would cause the least damage and ripple effect from a fantasy perspective. But let me ask you about these two spots specifically, starting with New England. Let's live in the scenario where Dalvin Cook signs there. I'm looking at your rankings right now, Dalton. You have Ramondre Stevenson at RB 14. You and I are right there in line at running back 14. Where would Stevenson fall if you got news that Dalvin Cook is signing in New England?
Funny that reports of Bill Belichick reportedly being on the hot seat came out today. Oh, man, I dropped Stevenson outside my around 21-ish, 22-ish running backs. Something around there. And Dalvin Cook would remain an RB3 too, below him for sure. So that would be a bad landing spot. I'd put him around the James Conner, Miles Sanders type territory for me. I'm not quite as high on Sanders as Andy. So what about you? I mean, it would significantly lower, a few rounds lower.
Yep. I think it would be, I'm the highest on Alexander Mattison by a lot. I've kind of, we'll talk about Madison. Obviously we're going to talk to him later, but I think that Miles Sanders, James Conner territory sounds right. I honestly do not know how much Dalvin Cook has left. I don't think he was bad last year. I think he was still explosive. Like watching Justin Jefferson, you know, charting his routes and stuff like that, you consistently see Dalvin Cook pop up for these big, big explosive plays. I think he could complement Ramondre Stevenson pretty well because I think Stevenson is an explosive guy, but he's probably a little bit more grinder-esque, and I think they could kind of split passing down duties. And I mean, frankly, if the Patriots offense is going to be good this year, I think they're going to have a really good run game. So I kind of understand why they'd be interested in Cook. But yeah, I think Stevenson would go from a guy who would need to fall below like Joe. I would like right now today without Dalvin Cook, I'd love to take Ramondre Stevenson, you know, over like Najee Harris or Kenneth Walker or, you know, Damian Pierce. But I don't, or yeah, Aaron Jones. I think I would confidently take Aaron Jones over Ramondre Stevenson if this happened. So troubling one for sure.
I haven't been drafting any Dalvin Cook, but the bull case for him, as far as performance-wise, is he was playing with this bum shoulder the last 3 years, and he finally addressed it with surgery in the offseason, and he's reportedly going to be, you know, healthier. But two of these three most likely landing spots, you'd lower him in your rankings. So I think there's more downside than upside for him at this stage of his career.
Dalvin Cook's another one that's like he'll turn 28 next month. Like he's not even that old, which is just crazy that like our
but that
our
is
threshold.
Old for running backs. Yeah, that is yeah, old though. Yeah, I mean that is. I mean it's it certainly is. Not the it's certainly the downside of his career without question.
Yeah, that was like my point about the rookie contract. It was just funny how quickly that stuff happens. Just real quick on Breece Hall, who you have ranked at running back 8. You're the highest among us at Yahoo. Where would he fall if Dalvin Cook signed there?
Oh man, well I have more thoughts on Breece Hall because he's another question of mine. But
we can save Breece Hall. We can save Breece Hall if you have him later on. So
I do.
All right, let's just move to another one here. I'll give you my first one and I'll stay up at the top of the rankings. I am curious, does Bijan Robinson, is he gonna get a role? Is he gonna be playing in a role that makes Tyler Algier valuable from a standalone perspective? And what I mean by this, Dalton, is I don't know how much I buy this stuff. You know, it's always a trope, right? That the running back is going to line up in all these different positions. He's going to line up in the slot. He's going to, you know, take snaps out wide. He's going to be more of an offensive weapon than a true running back. I typically don't buy that. I think if one guy could do it, it probably is Arthur Smith, who's been very like position agnostic with some of these guys like Kyle Pitts, you know, tight end, uses a wide receiver more often than normal as a rookie. Drake London, I think it's overstated. He was basically just a true X receiver in his rookie season. But I could see Bijan Robinson moving all around the formation, which I'm curious, does that cause us to be a little concerned with Bijan Robinson? Like you've got him 4 overall. I've got him 7, you know, Scott and 4th among running backs. I've got him 7. Scott and Andy have him 5th. Does that lead us to be concerned about Bijan? And then again, from a Tyler Allgeier perspective, well, if Bijan Robinson is doing all these moving around things, is Bijan Robinson going to take, is he going to take more snaps in all those areas? And then for Tyler Allgeier, who we know is a good running back, is an efficient running back in this offense, is he then going to play more than we think? And could that lead him to be one of these really valuable guys in fantasy who obviously has great contingent upside if Robinson ever got hurt? And then also, he would have a little bit of like standalone, like a what the heck flex type of guy in just a standalone sense. So I'm really curious about this one.
I hope we do get some clarity, though, because, this might be summer, which is clouded. We're not sure exactly how they are going to treat the rookie until week one. But I hope we do get some clarity there. My thoughts on Robinson is after McCaffrey, the clear RB1, even him with Elijah Mitchell splits weren't great. Mm-hmm. Running backs 2 through 10, to me, is just one gigantic tier. And I could see the argument and the downside for any of them. I mean, and Robinson is one of them. I could see him as high as number two running back or as low as number 10. And I'd love to get some clarity of what his role would be this summer. And one Ian Harditz just made a tweet that was a little concerning, showing that Ridder's adjusted completion percentage last year was on par with Mariota in pretty much all categories, even from a clean pocket, deep passes, all that stuff. Overall, he was a rookie, third round rookie. He can get better, but yeah, we're still relying on a third round rookie quarter or second year quarterback for a guy we might be taking in the first round of our fantasy draft, who is a rookie himself. So there's definitely some questions that need to be answered for Bijan.
Yeah, look, I'm sure I've said it, like, it can't get worse than Marcus Mariota. And I should have learned my lesson years ago saying it could not get worse. It could not get worse for, insert star wide receiver here. One truism of the NFL is that it can always get worse. Okay. Like, so for Desmond Ridder, I do personally think that from just a watching him play perspective, he was much more functional than Mariota. He's not going to take as many sacks as Mariota. He's not going to be as off target as Mariota was on layup throws even. But there's obviously still risk there for all of these Falcons, and Bijan being the most expensive one in drafts is pretty troubling. So I am curious about Allgeier. Like, if you did hear some of these reports, like he's going to have more of a role, how much would you buy it? One, and then two, where would you like be comfortable taking a guy that is going to be really a complimentary rusher, but again, has great contingent value if anything ever happened to Bijan Robinson?
Yep, fair. Hopefully we get some answers on how they are going to deploy him, because I know you're a fan of Arthur Smith's coaching.
Big fan.
So, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I think fantasy managers were a little bit harsh on him for different reasons, but it'll be interesting to see if Ridder can take that step.
Yeah. Right now I am the highest on Tyler Allgeier among us rankers at Yahoo. And, I take my rankings very, very, very seriously, especially here in the middle of July. So I'm at least open to the idea that this ends up happening, but it's something that it's going to be really hard. This is one of the harder ones to find out, like if it's true or not, because they could be coming out here with all that nonsense. Like, oh yeah, Bijan Robinson, offensive weapon, and Tyler Allgeier, a real running back. And like by week three, they throw that thing in the can. They throw that's nonsense, right? Like, they're just going to actually have Bijan Robinson be, a true workhorse like they drafted him to be. So that's possible. All right, Dalton, give me your second question here that's pressing on your mind about the running back position.
All right, it's how far along is Breece Hall's recovery from ACL surgery? Hall led all backs in explosive run rate last year, second in yards per route run. He had the most air yards among running backs, despite running 250 fewer routes than the next most, which was Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this is insane. Now he goes from the league's worst quarterback situations to an inner circle Hall of Famer. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is washed, but I keep forgetting that he played through a broken thumb last year when looking at his stats. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. If Hall is fully recovered and they don't sign Dalvin Cook, I think he's going to be the number one running back off all boards in fantasy drafts in 2024. I mean, you look at his athletic chart compared to Bijan Robinson, he blows him away. He would have been drafted as like a top three overall pick in a decade ago. It's just a different generation, the draft capital. So I think Breece Hall is going to win a lot of fantasy leagues for folks in the second half of the year this year. And I just hope that Dalvin Cook doesn't get in his way. And sorry, recovery too. Sorry, I started with the surgery. He did not. I just want to point out, this is not Javonte Williams. There was only an ACL. It was a clean one. And most people, we all trust the doctors on Twitter say that is different and it should be smooth. But boy, that's something I'm going to be paying attention to, especially someone who's drafted the heck out of him so far for my teams.
100%. I love everything you just said about Breece Hall. You and I talked about this on the Stat Nerd podcast, which, oh man, I can't wait for Stat Nerd Thursday to be back up and running this year. That's going to be exciting. But we talk about this a lot, like the air yards he averaged per target was insane at the running back position. And I think that his receiving usage was like prime David Johnson receiving usage, which I have been chasing somebody like that for years since David Johnson was in the league. And he was great as a rusher, as you mentioned. I mean, so explosive. It's just such a great spot for him. And the good news is, Dalton, we haven't talked about this on the podcast, we're going to probably get some clues on Breece Hall, maybe not from an injury perspective, but the Jets, you know, are seemingly were dragged kicking and screaming into participating in Hard Knocks this year. I think Aaron Rodgers said something to the effect. So we'll probably see Breece Hall and some of the recovery. We'll get a sneak peek at it for thanks to HBO this offseason.
I forgot about that aspect. Yeah, good call there. I have only two episodes in quarterback. Thoughts?
I watched the first episode. I enjoyed it. I really...
I'm going to keep watching, yeah.
Yeah, same. This is an existential question that I face about myself. So feel free to ignore this, Dalton. You probably disagree with me, and anybody listening totally is going to disagree with me. But I love to see... the reason I like the quarterback stuff, maybe a little more even than I like the Hard Knock stuff, is just because I love to see like these guys in not completely unbuttoned or anything like that, but I just like to know what like these guys are like as human beings. And I think they got three totally different people, obviously different levels of quarterbacking at Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. They're just different guys. I like to see them in that environment. I like to see it at Hard Knocks too, but like I watched that episode, one of those, the first episode on Friday in my garage gym. And then I listened to Jordan Rodriguez's series, The Play Caller, The Play Callers with Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel and Sean McVay with The Athletic. Definitely check that out. I watch things like The Quarterback and I listen to that series from Jordan. Both are great. Definitely check that out. It was the whole podcast series over the weekend. And I'm like, what am I doing talking about fantasy football? It just seems so like, it's just these big consequential stories from these head coaches that have shaped the league. It's so cool. And then you're like, yeah, but you know, Breece Hall's yards per target. It's like, what am I doing here? I don't know. It's one of those like existential crises that I face and nobody else probably cares about. But yeah,
nah, I enjoyed the first episode. Fantasy carries the league. Come on. No,
I mean, it does.
Come on. It's why it's so popular.
It does. No, there's, I'm with you. It definitely does. It just from like a, what am I focusing all of my brain power on?
Yeah, I hear you.
Interesting stories of human beings or, literally my life is success rate on, you know, corner routes and stuff like that. Like, what am I doing? So I don't know. To answer your question, I enjoyed the first episode of Quarterback. What about you?
Yeah, me too. I'll keep watching for sure. Love, Kirk Cousins is, he's a pretty nice guy. It seems like such a funny dork. It's great. Yeah, it's awesome.
Such a funny dork. Yeah, I love it. Okay. My next question here is a little bit more niche than the last one, but does Damian Harris lock up a role in the Bills backfield over James Cook, but maybe more especially Latavius Murray? When you look at I was doing a draft recently and, you know, Damian Harris, I took him in the draft. I think, you know, kind of like round 9-10 sort of range, which I love taking Damian Harris there, right? Because I think he's got, let me say this, I like Damian Harris as a player, and I really like the idea of the Bills banger back when I think they need to kind of evolve from a run game perspective, and I think that's the type of back that they need to insert that they hadn't really had in the Josh Allen era so far. So I love the idea. I love the player, Damian Harris. I'm a fan of him as a runner. And then I'm also loving the idea of this role. But then, you know, at like the very last round, literally, I think the last round of this draft, Latavius Murray is still there and he's just hanging around. And if you look at the contracts between Damian Harris and Latavius Murray, there's not that big of a difference between the contracts here. It's just one was signed way earlier in Damien Harris, and then Latavius Murray was much later. So that gives me a pause when I'm getting so excited about Harris, especially because I think Murray was kind of sneaky good with the Broncos last year. So I am really curious about any clues we can get that, oh yeah, Damien Harris has locked up a role here. Latavius Murray is like a fringe roster guy, and James Cook is a nice utility player, but Harris is probably going to be the guy that's handling early down carries, handling goal line carries, and that will just be really valuable in any sort of like half PPR format system.
I'm glad you brought up Damien Harris. Did you see all the tweets about how that was the answer to our who's the next Jamal Williams thing? So many people overwhelmingly voted for him. James Cook, surprisingly, actually finished similarly to Breece Hall, an explosive run rate last year, super high in rush yards over expectation, if you believe in that stuff. But yeah, I mean, Damien Harris is one season removed from 15 rushing touchdowns. This is an awesome Bills offense. It's going to run a ton of plays, be in the red area consistently. And Josh Allen, they've even openly talked about maybe trying to keep him out of harm's way as much running. And that would be, you know, at the goal line above all else. So yeah, but as you mentioned, Latavius Murray is there. Like, I keep kind of dismissing him as well, but he absolutely could be a reasonable facsimile. Damien Harris is constantly banged up throughout his career. So whoever takes over this big back role in Buffalo could just easily fall into a dozen touchdowns.
If Latavius Murray wasn't on this roster, Damien Harris would 100% be the best candidate for who is this year's Jamal Williams on our Flip the Script series. But it's the fact that Murray is there. It's the fact that they gave them pretty decent, you know, money, which might just be a Bills organizational philosophy thing, you know, similar to like, I think the Eagles, they didn't give Rashad Penny much money and they don't give anybody much money, right? At the running back position. So it might not mean anything that they have this similar contract, and the fact that they signed Harris, you know, in the prime of free agency might matter more than anything. But let me tell you what, if Murray is just good, better than him in training camp, there's a scenario where Harris is cut and Murray is, you know, pounding in 8 touchdowns this year. That's possible. So I want to see any clues that like, that's not the scenario. Or you know what, if that is the scenario, then I'm going to be drafting a lot of Latavius Murray in the late rounds as the most boring, but still high upside pick at the position.
Yeah, and then Hines is going to steal targets out of that backfield too from Cook. So Cook, as much as I want to bump him up my ranks, it's tough. It's tough. Even if he is a great player himself, it turns into one. It's tough, this situation.
All right, Dalton, give me your third big question at the running back position that you want answered this offseason.
All right, this one maybe not so obvious, but who is Tony Pollard's backup in Dallas?
Good call.
I don't think Malik Davis and Deuce Vaughn's size, I don't think they're it. And I know you're going to laugh at me, but Ronald Jones is returning home. He went to high school in Fort Worth, still just 25 years old. Do they re-sign Zeke? And how much does the market overcorrect for Pollard, whom I just moved to my RB2, as I explained that big tier after McCaffrey? Why not Pollard? I think he's as good as any of them. He finished as the RB8 last year, despite seeing fewer than 50% of the snaps in 8 games. I mean, he totaled 233 touches. Dallas running backs combined for 524 touches. So, and by the way, Zeke is gone right now. Pollard has averaged 102 yards from scrimmage and nearly a touchdown per game when he's seen a snap rate more than 50% throughout his career, set up for the most opportunities of his career. Kellen Moore's gone. They're just going to establish the run in Dallas. So I just love Tony Pollard. But can he? I'm not expecting 350 touches out of him, but can he hold up in 300 touches? And if not, Ronald Jones is free at drafts because most people don't think he's the backup. So, and he's the guy most capable. So I'm interested if we get any clarity who's running behind Pollard.
Your guy, Ronald Jones, buddy. Your guy, Ronald Jones.
He'll fumble the first touch of the year like he did last time I hyped him a couple years ago.
That was amazing.
On Thursday night. Yeah, that wasn't.
Yeah, you know. That was amazing. Just I'm out at like Korean barbecue watching the game and just Ronald Jones facepalm or something like that. Terrific stuff from Dalton. By the way, you have Tony Pollard running back 2 and Andy has him running back 9. And everybody kind of has him in that range. But then you have Andy has Nick Chubb at running back 2 and you've got him at 7, the lowest of us. That's a good, you know, we're doing these like little draft debates for the website now. That one's got to be one of them. That's a pretty good one at the top of the draft there. So I like that. But I'm with you on the enthusiasm for Pollard, but with the curiosity still there about who's the backup here. Are they going to sign a veteran? I think it's looking less likely that they do resign Zeke. I thought it was possible. I probably thought it was more possible a month ago than it is now, simply because I think they would be kind of open to it, but I don't think, like, that's just a lot for Zeke to, you know, walk back there with his tail between his legs. I think that's the biggest thing. But I do kind of think there would be, at least from a Jerry Jones perspective, that he would be interested in bringing old Zeke back, but probably not anybody else in that building. So regardless, but are they going to go out and are they going to sign like a different one of these other veteran running backs that's out there? Because there's still a lot of big names, not just Dalvin Cook. You know, Leonard Fournette is out there. You've got Kareem Hunt out there. I don't know if they're a fit for any of these type of guys, but is there a veteran incoming? And if there's not a veteran incoming, is Malik Davis the type of guy that could be the second running back, or is it Ronald Jones, bro? I don't know, man. But that is
producer Colin. Chime in. Let Cowboy fan. Colin, yeah. He's shaking his head over there.
No, I think the Cowboys internally want Malik Davis to be the answer. The problem was there were some maturity issues down the stretch last year with him and showing frustration. And I think those are the reasons why Ronald Jones is in the building. So I think if you hear out of Oxnard that Malik Davis is, you know, being consistent, showing up, I think he could be that RB2. He's got the talent. He spelled Damian Pierce at Florida and really flashed when, you know, there wasn't really much to going on with that Florida offense a few years back, but he was a stud last preseason. And there was a game, I believe the Thursday night game against Tennessee last year, where Tony Pollard was out and Davis really looked really good in the opportunities he had. So he's the guy you want to watch, Malik Davis.
Yep. I think that would be the nice answer. That would be great. If it's just a guy like that. And he's, I think of all of these running backs that are on the franchise tag right now, the Pollard one is the whole concept of the franchise tag is just so, it's so effed right now, because the Dalton, what the franchise tag was originally for is we're going to tag this guy and we're going to buy us some time to do a long-term deal with them. Now it's like, we're just going to use him for one more year and ride him into the dust, the whole running back thing. But like for Pollard, I understand why they'd want to kick the can down the road on Pollard, just because we haven't seen him in a full-time role. And for that reason alone, I think it's valuable to know who this player is. And I'm with Colin that Malik Davis would be the guy we'd like to see. We'd like to see
Malik,
that role.
Malik Davis is undrafted, 200 pounds, around a 4.7 140. So I have my doubts. Quickly before we leave the Cowboys, one thing I've not seen anyone talk about, maybe I just missed it, but should we knock CeeDee Lamb a little bit for the Brandon Cooks signing? That guy's been a target hog his whole career, seemingly, where he goes, and they're going to throw the ball less, and Gallup might be further healthy year removed. So I don't know. I'm nitpicking Lamb versus 5, 6, and 7 versus those guys, but I don't know. The Cooks factor and the fact they're going to run the ball more has me drafting Garrett Wilson and Amon-Ra St. Brown over CeeDee Lamb. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. A couple things there. I think they're going to say they're going to run the ball and they're going to pass the ball less this year. And they might do it slightly less, but Mike McCarthy did this all the time in Green Bay where he'd be like, I need to run the ball more. I need to run the ball more. And you know what they do? They'd throw the piss out of the ball and run a bunch of slant flats. And that's probably what's going to happen with the Cowboys this year. So I don't think they're going to be as run heavy as people think. I do think that it's, maybe CeeDee Lamb sees slightly less targets, slightly fewer targets with Brandon Cooks back and Michael Gallup, you know, kind of in full, or Michael Gallup back and more for full form and Brandon Cooks there. But I don't know, man. I still think that he could be more efficient on a per target basis. He could get more explosive plays with the defense maybe, kind of having to key in on multiple things here. So I tend to...
Good counter. He's still my wide receiver 7. Good counter. He's probably right about the pass rate. You're right.
I'm looking... I mean, I think that you can easily have, obviously, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Steph Diggs, I think should all be ranked ahead of CeeDee Lamb. And then I think it's kind of a toss-up between CeeDee and A.J. Brown. And then I'm personally going to still have Davante Adams up at, you know, wide receiver 8. I'm not going to drop him so much that he's going behind. I can't abide taking Davante Adams, you know, behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. I can't do it. But that's a personal hang up there. So I
what about Garrett Wilson?
It's tough, but I can't do it, dude. I mean, he's Davante Adams, the best receiver in pro football. I don't know.
Okay. All right. What's your next question? Sorry, I got sidetracked. I was just curious of your CD take. Go ahead.
That's a good one. Because it's something that people probably aren't thinking about. Okay. My last one, and I think this is another one that we could probably actually get some clues on. What are the duties for Jamal Williams and Kendre Miller behind Alvin Kamara? Kamara is like almost a lock to get suspended. He pled no contest or whatever in the right. That was what happened with his whole legal situation. He's probably going to get a 6-game suspension. It would be my guess right now. Is he suspended for 6 games? That's going to get announced at some point. And it's clear that the Saints have prepared themselves to miss Kamara for a few games here. Like, they signed Jamal Williams. They drafted Kendre Miller in the 3rd round. I think that Jamal Williams kind of goes too late in drafts right now. I also think that Kendre Miller has great, like, late season upside. He could be a post bye week type of guy that he really starts flying after that, even when Kamara's back, you know? So I'm curious about this because I think one of these guys, like, I think if you're going kind of more, you're in that hero RB mold where you need guys to just fill spots early in the season, I think Jamal Williams is not a bad target there. But then if you're looking for, Kendre Miller, like, he's going to have, I think he would have to have a great summer to get truly, like, steamed up draft boards. But he's a guy that you could take late, or even someone takes him late, they cut him midseason and they pick him up later on. So I'm really curious how this rotation splits out behind Alvin Kamara, because I frankly don't think the team's still all that high on him at this point based on how they used him last year.
Totally. One of my honorable mentions was going to be, how long is Alvin Kamara's suspension? I like Kendre Miller. There's upside on this offense. I've mentioned it before on this pod that the Saints ranked 6th in the league last year in adjusted net yards per attempt in between two teams that went deep into the playoffs, I believe. If Chris Olave develops even further with a healthy Michael Thomas and Rashid Shaheed, that's quite a receiving core yeah. there. So if someone can emerge as a lead back, they'd have quite a bit of fantasy value.
Yep, I think they'd have a good bit of fantasy value, and I'm really interested in the Saints offense. I'm doing grades for all the skill position units in the first in the NFC, and then the AFC article is going to be on the website. I'm pretty high on the Saints, man. I'm pretty high on the Saints as a team that could really have a lot going for it this year.
And I know this doesn't. Yeah, he's a beast. I know this stuff isn't always perfect, but based on like Vegas projected win totals, they have a historically easy schedule too. Them and the Falcons just look dramatically different compared to the rest of the league, those two teams this year.
Yeah, so I'm really curious where these guys end up from like a touches perspective, a workload split perspective behind, or maybe even, you know, just alongside Alvin Kamara at some point this year. All right, Dalton, any honorable mentions you want to clean up here before we throw it to Alexander Mattison?
Sure, just a couple quick ones. How healthy is Javonte Williams? Obviously, people love him, but recovering from ACL, LCL, and PCL surgery there. But man, there's upside with Sean Payton, no Melvin Gordon. So he says he feels ready to go. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. And then my only other one, really, we need to know, is Rashad Penny more Barry Sanders or more Walter Payton? I think we're going to hopefully get a little bit more clarity on that one this preseason.
Well, right now I'm definitely thinking Barry Sanders, you know, burn fast, burn bright, but don't burn long, you know, that's the Rashad Penny story.
I wish Colin's reaction was unmuted, because I got a laugh there actually for people who can't see. But anyway, continue. All right. What are your honorable mentions, Harmon?
I think that I'll say Eagles running back rotation. I'd love to know how that's going to go. Maybe a more realistic question. I also think the Bears running back rotation, I'm curious about how that one goes as well. I'm not sure that that one matters. Let me say it again. It definitely does not matter as much as the Eagles running back rotation clues, but I am curious, do we get any clues on how the Bears running back rotation goes? I'll also say, is Kenneth Walker going to just get a clear runway as a starter? I think that one's pretty important. Are we going to see more of Zach Charbonnet early in the year than we saw of Kenneth Walker in his rookie year last year when Rashad Penny, Barry Sanders was out there? I'm also curious, where does the Sean McVay / Cam Akers Rocky relationship stands? Boy, that relationship has gone so many different directions since Cam Akers has been in the league. It's been up, it's been down, it's been really, really down, it's been really, really up to end last season, and they are talking about him as if they're really excited. I'm not sure I want to buy anything Sean McVay ever says about any of his players after how things went with, we're going to be mixing up Allen Robinson's route tree. Actually, psych, he's only going to play X receiver and run curl routes. So I'm not sure I ever want to buy anything that Sean McVay ever says again, but I'm curious about people who are observing practices and stuff like that, and just kind of feeling out the team dynamic, what they think about Cam Akers and Sean McVay. And my last one here, Dalton, And we don't have time to dig in on this, obviously, but it's an interesting one to me. Hey, what if Isaiah Pacheco is just like really good and he takes another step as a player? Because I think the consensus thought out there in fantasy circles is Pacheco, two down grinder. He's kind of whatever. He's more exciting to watch than he is as a fantasy back. And he's really not even that good. He's just a chaotic mover. CEH, big time value pick. We talked about that at different times. If that's true, Jarrett McKinnon, you know, decent guy. Like, people aren't really into, you know, everybody kind of ranks Isaiah Pacheco at best as running back 24, 25. But I don't know, man. What if he takes another step and he's just the lead back for the Chiefs and like he scores 10 touchdowns this year? So I don't know. That's one that I'm curious about, even though right now he's banged up.
Yeah, I was going to say the Pacheco one, actually, we might get some clarity because he's recovering from two surgeries. So hopefully we see how he is health-wise. But the others, I fear the usage questions may not get answered in the preseason. Those I do fear are ones that will remain unknown until week one. But yeah, good talking football with you, Harmon. And tell Alexander I said what's up.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, this was awesome. We will look forward to more and more of your spiciest takes as we get closer here to week one, man. I'm getting pretty excited. You know, rookies reported for some teams today. So it's here, man. It is upon us. Whether you're ready or not, football season is upon us. But all right, Dalton, appreciate you joining me. Up next, we have Minnesota Vikings running back one, Alexander Mattison. All right, excited now to be joined by Minnesota Vikings running back Alexander Mattison. Alexander, appreciate you joining me, man. How are things going?
Everything is going good. Extremely blessed and just, you know, body's feeling great. My mind's in a great spot. So, yeah, everything's really good right now.
Well, it's good to hear that the body and the mind are in a great spot because let me tell you what, buddy, you're in a big spot, you know, this year now, right? Like you're going into what looks like a clear-cut starting job here for the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they bring you back on a pretty nice contract. Obviously, Dalvin Cook is no longer with the team. How are you feeling going into this year, you know, different than any of the other years previously?
Definitely just a little bit more pressure behind going into the season, a little bit more excitement going into the season. But definitely just one of those things where I try to treat this season how I've treated every other season, prepare the same way, have fun the same way, and come into it just ready with the mentality, understanding that, you know, there's a little bit more expected. There's a little bit more opportunity. And, you know, I've been playing ball since I was 6 years old, and the game hasn't changed. It's all the same. So as long as I keep it that way and understand that that's where it is, that's what it is, I think that takes that pressure off of me.
When you re-signed with the Vikings, and maybe you can't, you know, tell me this or anything, when you re-signed with the Vikings, did you kind of have a feeling that you know, Dalvin might no longer be with the team or that you might be taking that top spot on the depth chart? Or what was really the biggest draw to bring you back to Minnesota before hitting free agency?
They gave me the most respect. They gave me the most, you know, interest as far as bringing me back. And, you know, with that in mind, it definitely was a thing where I wasn't signing to come back to be a backup. So, you know, going into it, we knew what it was. We understood the situation and all the details that were going to unfold later on were, you know, a part of the business of being an NFL. But yeah, signing that contract, I kind of knew what was coming.
So you're here with Amorpho is the sponsor that you're with, man. And I heard that this is actually a pretty big part of your training, you know, in general, and especially going into this year. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. So Amorpho is gravity sportswear. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can wear while doing anything almost. Really, you can throw it on to walk the dogs. You can throw it on to go to the grocery store. And it's a way that you can just get the most out of your training in everyday life. And, you know, you can make the world your gym with Amorpho. So that's one thing I love about it is that, you know, I could just have a shirt in my bag and be out with my brothers. And then all of a sudden we're getting a little game somewhere and I'll throw it on just to get a little extra out of it. Whether, nice. You know, we're at the beach and want to get a quick little volleyball game or a quick little football you know, two hand touch game or something. You just throw it on and you get the most out of your workout by adding that subtle gravity sportswear micro loading into your, mixing it into your workouts, mixing it into your movements, your activities, everything that you do. You add that micro loading in there and it gives you the best out of everything.
Well, like I said, it's clearly working out for you. And I think the biggest way that we know that is, while we haven't seen you yet as a full season every week starter, you know, people that play fantasy football definitely know Alexander Mattison, because there's been times when Dalvin Cook has missed games. And, you know, even across multiple coaching staffs, it seemed to me, at least on the outside, you know, the Mike Zimmer coaching staff and what you guys got going on now with Kevin O'Connell, it's like, all right, Dalvin's out, we're just going to toss Alexander into that every down role. Is that sort of what you're expecting from the course of the season this year, to kind of be that every down back? Or do you think some of the other guys on the roster might supplement here and there?
I think that we have a great running back room right now that can do that. But I'm ready to go, like you said, being all down back, go out there and just, you know, take it one game at a time. But I know the opportunity I have in front of me, and I know some of the goals that I have for myself are very attainable. And this great offense that Kevin O'Connell has, and Wes Phillips are dialing up some great things in the run game, fixing some of the stuff that we had from last season and honing in on our strengths. So yeah, it's a very exciting time right now to look forward and see the opportunity I have in front of me.
Yeah, I think when you watch the Vikings from last year, you know, going back and doing film review and stuff like that, it is clear, you know, defenses are really focused on 18, you know, which, hey, I don't blame them. I would be focused on trying to stop that guy in any way possible too. That opens up a lot of stuff for you guys in the run game. So what are some of those tweaks? You mentioned like tweaks and everything to the run game. What are some of the things you guys are kind of working on maybe installing this year that weren't totally in place last year?
Just really looking at our weaknesses and seeing where we can be better. Our, you know, first steps off the line, our angles, our double teams, moving up to the second level, moving our feet, blocks, all of those little details, running backs, our tracks and our aiming points, the details within our alignment. There's a lot of different details I think that we can be sharper at and better at that will just change the game a lot. And then, of course, there's some schemes that we're adding in there. Can't share too much about some of the good stuff we got planned. But yeah, attacking our strengths and really honing in on making our weaknesses more of our strengths as well is something that we've been doing this off season. And I know rolling into camp, we'll get that underway as well.
Well, I'm very excited to watch it. It was a fun offense to watch last year. You guys won a ton of games, and we're definitely interested to see how that division plays out this year with no more Aaron Rodgers. You know, a lot of hype on the Lions. Even the Bears, you know, they get DJ Moore. People, do you feel like people kind of sleep on the Vikings a little bit based on, it's like, oh yeah, they won scores in 1 point games, point differential, but hey, the record was what it was last year. Do you feel like the Vikings get slept on a little?
I do. I mean, all last season, it was weird. It was like, we're 7-1 and no one is giving us our respect. It was kind of weird. It was something where it's like, what do we have to do to gain the respect? We finish 13-4, and it's still kind of one of those things where I don't know if people are like still sure about what we have over here. And so, you know, this is going to be one of those years where we're all hungry for proving the world wrong and proving ourselves right, and understanding that, you know, there's a lot of people that doubt the Minnesota Vikings, and there's like I said, not a lot of respect I think floating around towards our way. So we just have to make sure we go put our foot down, put our foot on the gas and don't let up, and just demand that respect.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be fun to watch. Speaking of lack of respect, man, I do want to ask you about the running back position as a whole in the league right now. Yesterday, it was, you know, look, your guy Dalvin Cook's out there is available as a free agent. This guy's been one of the most productive players at the position, you know, in years. He's only going to turn 28. In August. I'm 32. To say like this guy's, you know, 28 and he's really old makes me feel incredibly old, even if it's a, you know, I don't play the running back position. So regardless,
yeah.
You know, you got a lot of big names available on the free agent market. You got the franchise tag deadline yesterday passes with no deal for Saquon Barkley, no deal for Tony Pollard, no deal for Josh Jacobs. You know, my guy Austin Eckler, who co-hosts a show with me during the season, He's tweeting about it yesterday. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, a lot of guys chiming in. What are your thoughts about the state of the running back position right now in the NFL?
Honestly, it's sad. It's, you know, I don't like to cross the lines of, you know, respect to me is a big word to kind of use when it comes down to things in general. But it feels disrespectful. Just coming from my perspective as a running back, it definitely is a undervalued position. And I don't see why. I don't get it. Even from a business standpoint, I don't get it. We bring so much value to a team, so much value to an offense. And I just, it doesn't make sense. It's one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to just play the hand you're dealt. And unfortunately, it's that way because, you know, there's only so long that you could play this game. So,
yeah,
you know, there's been guys to do it. Le'Veon held out. Not many people are willing to do that or capable of doing that or want, you know, their career to go down the potential path that can go down. But it definitely is something that we have to have a conversation about, something that has to be done about this. And it has to be brought to the table that something's going on. This is unfair. This doesn't make much sense. I think the position is extremely undervalued.
I am not smart enough to know what the solution is, but I agree that a conversation needs to be had in some way, especially because you guys are some of the most marketed players at the position. Great example. One of my buddies, you know, that writes for another site, he noticed that as soon as Dalvin was taken off the team banner on like the Twitter handle for the Vikings, you know who was right up there? You, the guy who is taking that spot this year, man. So it's like you guys are some of the most marketed players of the position. To me, it's like that kind of is tough to square, right? If they're undervalued financially, but then they're still going to market. I don't know. To me, it's tough to square.
Yeah, I it's one of those things. It kind of gets under your skin a little bit when you start to think about it a little more, and you start to think about the other guys that are experiencing, you know, at the, you know, the top of the class, you know, the guys that are supposed to be setting the market in free agency, how they're being treated. And everyone else kind of just is like a tumble down effect of the market being set for the running backs. And then you see all these other players, D-line and receivers and quarterbacks, and like they're getting just mega contracts rolling around. It's kind of just like, man, we're not even asking for that, but you know, okay to pay the running back position and put a little more respect there.
One thing, again, I've learned from doing the show with Austin Eckler during the season, everything, you guys all seem to have a little bit of like an underdog mentality generally, especially, you know, guys like undrafted like Austin or, you know, you taken later, not the first round of the draft, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's fuel, I think, for you guys too, which I think is exciting for those of us on the outside to watch. Last couple things for you here, Alexander, before I let you go. One, you know, we talked a lot about Dalvin Cook so far. What do you think he has left to offer to his next team that it's going to, I'm sure, is going to sign him, you know, any day now? We'll have to be doing the breaking news hit on that.
Honestly, he's exactly who he's been the past couple years. Same back, probably even better. He's got a lot in the tank. I think people might see it as like, oh, he's getting old or something, but I don't see how they could say that. He's an all-pro back. He's a Pro Bowl back. I mean, he's been to the Pro Bowl every year since I've been in the backfield with him. So I've seen firsthand exactly why he's made it to the Pro Bowl every year. And I think that, you know, it's just one of those weird situations where I don't understand how someone could question a back like that, because he does, I think, have so much more in the tank, and he's going to definitely be one of those guys that puts on a yellow jacket one day.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where he lands. I hope he lands in a place where he kind of can moonwalk into a starting job there. Would be great. Last thing, have you gotten to see any of the Netflix quarterback show or any of the clips coming out of it with your guy Kirk there? Have you gotten to see any of it?
Yeah, I'm actually, I think, halfway through the season now.
Oh, nice.
Me and my wife have been watching it, and it's just awesome to see Kirk being Kirk.
I watched the first episode. That's it so far. Seen some of the other clips. I think like Kirk is kind of sneaky going to come out as the star of this show, because I think everybody knows, you know, Patrick and who he is, and just, I mean, it's been cool to obviously see into his life and Marcus Mariota as well. But Kirk, you know, he just has like a real likable way about him in the show. Yeah. Do you think it's been a fair portrayal of him, or what's like maybe something about even that's not even in the show that people should know about Kirk Cousins?
That's Kirk every day. I mean, there's even more to him. He's even funnier. He, you know, cracks the dad jokes at practice. He's just such a great leader and such a great person. And I think this is an amazing show to showcase that, because I feel like he's gotten a bad rap as far as just the critics. I love what he said. He said if he walked on water, his critics would say
it's because he can't swim or something. Yeah.
So like when I think of that, like that's kind of where his whole, I mean, I don't know if it's been his whole career, but I know since I've been here with him that everyone's just kind of criticized Kirk, and statistically, you can't really criticize him all that much. Like every year he's improved as a person. I'm in the locker room with him all the time. In meeting rooms, everything. I see how great of a person he is, how great of a dad he is, how great of a husband, how great of a leader. I don't see why people could hate on that. So like, yeah, for me, it's been a revolving question mark around why do people criticize Kirk Cousins so much? And I think this show is going to allow people to see, like, why do I, you know, whoever is out there hating on Kirk Cousins, I hope that they watch this and see, like, why do I hate on Kirk Cousins? I love this guy, because that's all you get from it. You can't do nothing but love him.
I mean, the whole bit about his shirt after week one in the first episode was like, yeah, I can relate to that. Like, know, that is very relatable. My wife sometimes needs to help me put together some outfits as well. So, yeah, I agree with you. Hopefully makes it just more relatable of a guy. But, you know, that's what I love doing these interviews. I love seeing the shows like that, is really getting to figure out who you guys are as people, you know, beyond just stats and any of the criticism and everything. So, Alexander, really appreciate your time, man. This was awesome. I think people are going to be really excited to see what you do this season, and we wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure and an honor. So thank you for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for the show. Shout out to Dalton, as always, for joining. And of course, thank you to Vikings running back Alexander Mattison. Very excited to track him throughout the course of the season. On Thursday's podcast, Andy Behrens joins me to wrap up our mini countdown to camp series by looking at, yes, the wide receiver position and some tight ends. Super quick, we'll just call it pass catcher positional preview, even though I do not endorse the idea of molding these two together. And I'm sure I will have to knock Andy out at least once for suggesting it on the next podcast. But anyways, we might also have a surprising guest on that podcast too. Definitely check out that one. Until then, we're out.